organizations, offices, and financial services under conditional use permit. I think this is, it's not a huge space, and the value of this is the residential serving commercial opportunities for the folks in the neighborhood.
Right, and I mean, and that's what we've been talking
right.
about. So
exactly.
I'm, I'm good omitting all five of those, making them conditional. It really doesn't matter to me. I just don't think the intention is that suddenly you're throwing in their financial services and a library and some membership organizations. Any other? Are we good with those five? Do you want to remove conditional? I can go one way or the other. It doesn't really matter. Good. All right, we're good either way. So if Mayor Pro Tem has a,
I'll split the baby.
If Mayor Pro Tem is concerned about it, then we are certainly happy to make financial services, membership organizations, and offices be a conditional use, and we'll remove libraries and schools.
Yeah, I think that does it. We've seen, I'm cool with removing some of them altogether because we have seen people come in with the expectation that if there is a CUP use, then it must be granted. And that's certainly
but
not
the
case.
But then we do run that risk, though, with financial services, membership organizations,
right.
and other
But
offices.
Again, somebody has their great thing as to why this is a valuable and resident-serving use of that space. That can be discussed.
So I'm just going to kind of look at the applicant out here, and would you... Okay, I've got a thumbs up. I'm just letting you all know I have a thumbs up from the applicant. I'm not going to bring them back up, but we have a thumbs up, so we'll go with that.
Okay.
Is there anything else that I have not covered, or we have it?
I should have asked this question earlier, but, you know, we're looking at the layout and all that stuff and the turns and in and out. I'm not sure. I'm just concerned about what our standards are. I think of the Trader Joe's parking lot, which everybody seems to think is a horrible parking lot, a very hard to get in and out of a park, and, you know, back in, back out, because maybe they're narrow aisleways. The standards we're applying in here are carefully studied, I assume, are, you know, well-established in our code and kind of preclude those kind of problems, right?
We certainly hope so. We certainly see our parking lots designed to our standards functioning better than Trader Joe's. So
good.
We believe so.
Good. Thank you. I'm happy.
In terms of open items, a couple of things. One is we did talk about the phasing. That was a request to retain the Planning Commission's recommendation on project phasing. And I just wanted to confirm with staff. I was checking through email messages over the break, and there was one correspondent asked about the phasing. That can you confirm that the phasing is in under the Planning Commission recommendation that the applicant worked out with them, that has a real a consequence financially to the project if they're not that there's a real consequence if they don't complete the commercial portion of the project in accordance with the phasing?
So the consequence would be that they would not be able to build that last residential building.
Yeah, which is a substantial chunk of the property. So
it is.
Yeah, okay. And I'm wondering if the applicant would be amenable to exploring the opportunities for using of the drainage area in a way that would be hospitable to the frog we were talking about earlier, to the extent that meets the needs of that. Yeah, that would be great.
I'll go ahead.
If I could add to that, I think the mayor indicated that, you know, not inclined to condition that, and I wouldn't be either, but it seems to me that, you know, if you're choosing plant species and this and that's the other thing, the mere fact you're adding this drainage feature is going to be more hospitable to animals in general, so I think that's a plus right there. But if it's no additional cost, you know, why would you be able to, and why not, you know, make it as compatible for native, you know, native animals as much as possible?
Sure. Just real briefly, again, I'm Tom Jess with Aero Studio Architects. I didn't know if I needed to introduce myself. But I think that in concept, we're all in favor of making that as friendly as habitat to the species as possible. However, as you guys know, and everyone that knows, whenever you're dealing with habitat, with stormwater, with Regional Water Quality Control Board, it would be flippant of me to come up here and say yes or no. I mean, I just really don't have anywhere near enough information to commit to anything other than just reiterating the fact that we want this to be as attractive a place as possible for both humans and animals. And we'll do everything we can within the constraints to make that happen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. I see nods from other members of the development team as well. I mean, I'm comfortable with that. I think that it would not be feasible for us to apply a condition on that basis, given that there are too many unknowns in the process and too much complexity over time. That a stormwater drainage basin's got to function as a stormwater drainage basin, first of all, for the project. By doing that, it welcomes a lot of critters around, and it will be a great space. Appreciate the willingness to specifically take a look at that as the plan goes. And I am not going to propose a condition.
All right. Are you complete?
I'll check my notes. Go ahead and check with the others.
I think everyone else is complete. We're ready to move forward with a motion. I want to repeat the recommendations, but I want to give you a chance to exhaust everything.
We did get the condition on on-site management.
Yes, we did.
Okay, great. Okay, that completes the open items that I had from my notes of the discussions.
Okay, so we are looking for a motion that would, within the recommendation, include the typo that is on page 201. That would include language regarding a 24/7 local contact person for the hotel, similar to the language that Ms. Fowler read us earlier in the evening. Adding a condition of approval for a separate deed covenant with regards to requiring those with garages that they use them for parking. That we would say on the 71 units, they would not be able to use them as short-term rentals unless they are owner-occupied or however, Councilmember Barbeau is happy with us saying that, but similar to how we did at Barrel Creek, so you know what we're talking about. Removing condition of approval number 15 for the deed restriction. Allowing, for the allowed uses, removing libraries and museums and schools from the list. And changing financial services, membership organizations, and offices to be a conditionally allowed use, not an allowed use. And then lastly, some language that Nick, our lovely Mr. DeBar, came up with on additional paving as determined by the city engineer over on Cashin near ECR. Do I have everything that...
Yes, and I'm wondering if Laura needs any specific language read or if she's good, or the city attorney.
We'll look to our city attorney. Have we given enough, clear enough language in this direction?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, thank you. So I will lift the motion.
I'll move approval of the Planning Commission's recommendations with the specific changes identified by the mayor in her comments.
I would second that motion.
All right. We have a motion by Councilmember Barbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. And I want to thank you for investing in our community. I know this has been a long, long coming project. I want to thank all of you that are involved on the applicant team, but also all of the residents who have engaged and made this a better project. I think we're really excited about what can happen at the south end of town that really serves you, that really serves your residents and makes it an even better place to live. So looking forward to seeing this come to fruition. Thank you. All right, we're going to move on.
If I may add one additional comment, just that we heard a lot of residents throughout this, that everybody going forward in this process is going to be neighbors and look forward to seeing the kinds of collaborative and neighborly and reciprocal respect that I've been hearing from tonight and then moving forward on the agreements. Just seeing that continue so that this is a great neighborhood for everyone who is part of it, residential and business-wise, both existing and new. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to our public hearing number two, Apple Valley Assessment Districts. I'll ask if we have any ex parte. Okay, we have none, so we'll go ahead and move over to our our Administrative Services Director, Ms. Rangel.
Thank you very much. This evening we have three public hearings we're working on assessment districts. I'll go over some commonalities and then we'll go into each one specifically if that works for council. Council's long-standing policy is that new development should pay for itself. Part of that policy requires developers to put in a mechanism to pay for such things as road maintenance and maintenance of common landscape areas. Developers at the time of these three developments had the option of either forming a homeowners association or forming an assessment district. The developers for Apple Valley, Deanza Estates, and Las Lomas, formerly known as Woodridge, all decided to form assessment districts. This is not a general tax to the citizens of Atascadero, but only applies to the property in each of these districts, and it's for the benefit of the district. For these three areas we're discussing tonight, there are a total of six districts. Because of the way that assessment district law works, each area is generally required to have two assessment districts. One for landscape and lighting, and the other for street and storm drain. A public hearing must be held annually to adopt the levies. The general fund does contribute a small amount for the public benefit. Staff evaluated the short and long-term costs for both districts in Apple Valley, and the proposed levy is the same as the prior year. This is $550 a year per EBU for the benefit assessment district, the street district, and $900 for the landscape and lighting district. This concludes my report on Apple Valley, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of our director?
I just assume with costs going up generally, that's still enough. That seems to be sufficient to meet the needs.
Yes, we project out 7 years, and so with what we have in the reserve for these, we believe this is a good rate for the levy.
Everybody will be happy that it didn't go up?
Yes.
Thank you.
Seeing no other questions, I will open it up to the public for any members of the public wishing to speak. I am seeing no members of the public. I will bring that back to council for a motion.
I'll move approval of the resolutions identified in the staff report.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. On to public hearing number three for the Deanza Assessment Districts. We'll ask if there's any ex parte.
Nope.
No ex parte. Director Rangel.
Thank you again. For the Deanza Estates, staff again evaluated the short and long-term cost for both districts, and the proposed levy is the same as the prior year. So for the landscape and lighting districts, it's $250 a year per equivalent benefit unit. In the what we call the senior units, there's $342.48 per equivalent benefit unit, and $681.50 for the street and storm drain district. And that concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and open up to public comment. Any members of the public wishing to speak? Seeing none, we'll bring that back for a motion to council.
I'll move approval of the draft resolutions identified in the staff report.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Bourbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Bourbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. So on to number four, which is our Las Lomas or Woodridge Assessment District. Finally, again, any ex parte? Nope, CNN. Director Rangel.
Great. Thank you once again. The levies for both of these districts in Los Lomas were increased by a CPI amount of 2.37 when compared to the prior year. Back in 2017, we in the city staff had a neighborhood meeting to discuss the issues of funding for road maintenance in Los Lomas. The majority of the homeowners that were in attendance at that meeting were strongly opposed to contributing or setting aside funds for long-term road maintenance projects. The proposed street and storm drain district levy of $438 a year is sufficient only for the annual operating costs and periodic surface treatments or slurry seals of the roads. Residents were informed that in approximately 20 years, the roads will require a more in-depth road maintenance project that will require significant funding. The residents were also informed that homeowners will be responsible for those repairs and that with a proposed levy at the $438 a year range and annually adjusted for inflation, that there will not be sufficient funding for road maintenance projects beyond the year 32-33. Before fiscal year 33-34, the district will need to come together to figure out how to fund future maintenance and periodic pavement rehabilitation that is needed to occur in fiscal year 38-39. The estimated cost of that work is just under $1 million using current dollars. A notice was recently sent to the property owners in the district again, sharing this information. Staff has concerns about the long-term maintenance of the street in the district and wants to make every effort to ensure that the neighbors have all of the details needed and make an informed opinion on this issue. Staff is also trying to compromise with the desires of the district in order to keep near-term costs down, and is recommending the levy at the $438 per equivalent benefit unit for the street district and the $328 a year per equivalent benefit unit for the landscape and lighting district. Staff has previously recorded a notice of assessment on each parcel in the district for even more transparency. The proposed notice was in the agenda package. And that concludes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Rangel. That's an issue we've been talking about for many years and been concerned about. My question is, when that time comes, you know, right now we have a lot of, you know, 40-ish miles of street that are non-city maintained throughout Atascadero, and some of them are not in assessment districts like this. And it's challenging for homeowners to be able to come together to actually make something happen and improve the road, and so oftentimes those roads don't get improved. In a situation like this, is there a mechanism whereby I would think the HOA would have a better ability to, say, get financing and assess the members and actually keep up with the roads, if obviously that's what they all choose to do. But would that be simpler than, say, you know, residents on a, you know, Tecarita or something like that that's non-city maintained trying to get together and fund something?
Yes. If there is an HOA that exists in this development, which I'm not sure that there is not an it's HOA not in this development. So okay. It would be a similar process. I would imagine that we would still continue with the, you know, the minor updates, and maybe Director DeBar could help me with this one on what would happen if they couldn't. Or we are trying to work with a local banking partner on getting the road loan program back into play, so that might be an option at that point. Director DeBar, do you have any further?
Sure. And I think these benefit assessment districts, we look out like 5 years in the future, and that's what we, you know, I think legally could be collecting money for, towards. And, you know, as Director Angell mentioned, we had a meeting a number of years ago and had a number of discussion with the neighborhood about, hey, do you want, you know, uniform rate or not? So it doesn't go, you know, if you use that five-year measure, then your assessment's going to be higher some years and lower other years. But when that time comes, when we're 5 years out from having to do, say, mill and overlay, or, something even more substantial, that'll be something that we'll have to look at, as, the rates may go up for 5 years prior to that project. So
that is something where the city could look 5 years out, or maybe it's even 10 years out, and say, okay, we're going to start assessing more, but we would still be limited to that annual increase. Like, we can't start making up prior amounts. Is that correct? Or could we,
so,
if needed?
So the by law, we can go with the maximum levy amount, which is much more than what we're charging, and so that amount does increase every year, so we could adjust those.
So that is something that the city, years into the future, could say, hey, this hasn't been done, we're going to start, and we would basically force it on, because just so those of you who are not sure exactly what we're talking about, when this is set up, the city essentially becomes the HOA for a community, which we'd rather not be in the business of doing that, but that's the way these three certain areas were set up. We'd rather it be an HOA and everybody kind of have control over their own roads and lighting and landscaping and the rest, but here we are with this. So when we talk about this and assessing, it is making sure that the residents are being able to maintain the property in the way that, and the roads and the infrastructure in the way that it needs to be. And I know that while 7 years ago, a kind of a vocal group came forward and didn't want it done, I'm curious, at some point, is there a group of people that say, hey, we would like to start putting away for that? And, I don't know if we know that, but we're not going to do anything about it tonight, but just this is kind of the thing I'm always thinking about when we bring this one up. So.
Good point. Thank you, Mayor.
That was going to be my question, Mayor, and you kind of addressed most of the things I was asking, but I'm curious, when you started to remind people that maybe there's some newer homeowners in this area, are they going, wait, what do you mean? Because 2032 isn't as far away as it used to be, or is everybody just happy and down the road when things get really bad, the option will be, hey, we're way below the minimum or the maximum assessment, we can suddenly double it,
I think in practice, what would happen, so we hold these funds in custody, right? So we start, the city's interest in these assessment districts is to make it clear that these aren't public roads. But we'll collect money for you on your behalf to be used to maintain your road. I think it's really important at hearings like this where we have these discussions, so the city's protected, that we're saying this isn't enough. I think every few years we should make that clear in our notices. I know that many of these residents are very aware of this arrangement. And so at some point, we don't have a duty to do a full rehabilitation of that road. It is what it is, and we do the best we can with the funds. And at some point, it will be a road that is deteriorating like many of our other streets. And I'd submit that the city shouldn't pay for that, because we've had this district, and we've been very transparent about it.
But, I mean, the mechanism exists, which is when they get, bothered enough by the bad roads, they'll go, hey, double our assessment, because there's room under the maximum allowable assessment to do that.
Yeah.
But it'll be several years
coming. City, or I think the city could without their agreement. Like, that is, is there a fiduciary responsibility that we have, like, not just in terms of the money, but in terms of what it's going for and making sure they're setting aside enough? I'm assuming the answer is no, because otherwise we would be forcing them to.
Well, we are doing what we need to for this period of time. Like Director DeBar said, we are collecting for the period that we're looking at for the assessment district. So we are being good stewards of that and collecting enough for what's sufficient for now. We're just looking at long in term into the future. So certainly the council is the authority on setting the levy for the districts, which is why we have this public hearing every year now.
And if I can maybe add something as well, the money can only be spent in these districts. So, I mean, these are obligated revenues that have to be spent on these specific roads versus, the 150 miles of street that are, the city maintains, that, the limited funding we have, they're all kind of vying for some attention. So the idea that is that, we'll keep an eye on these roads and keep them in good condition so we can maybe delay those major you know, rehabs and reconstructions that would occur, you know, instead of every 24 years, maybe we can put it off for 30 or something like that. So that's one of the advantages that the district does provide, is we do have a source of money to be spent that has to be spent on these specific roads.
Yeah. Thank you.
Two quick questions. One, with regard to disclosure of the pending potential for larger increases in this to cover the longer-term maintenance costs, to what extent is this communicated to the realtors and potential buyers when they're looking at those properties, so that there is clear disclosure of the future obligations that property may be required to incur?
That is a great question. That is a question that was come up at a previous one of these hearings in a prior year, which did kind of bring up this whole idea of the notice of assessment that it gets recorded on the deed. So anybody looking at what's recorded on any of the deeds in these homes will find this discussion of the needs, and that the fact that this is not a levy that will accomplish a major overhaul of the roads in 39.
Okay, so that would show up on a title report or another documentation that would come to the buyer at the time they're making a purchase.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And then in addition to that, each homeowner gets notice about this meeting and then a letter with it that explains that whole topic and invites them to comment both on this public hearing and then the meeting that we had last month on this as well.
Right. So the meeting notice allows them to discuss, enables people who are already bought in to decide whether they're not going to be part of, let's put some money aside now so we don't have to get slammed later. But it does the other communications protect prospective buyers who to know that there's that obligation in there, and that we don't have the surprises like we have with other non-city maintained streets where people don't know that they actually own the street and are going to have to fix it themselves.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and then the one other thing that's a bit tangential, but there was discussion around of traffic safety concerns in the area of this project. That I think you were going to do a red curb painting, and I just wanted to follow up and find out if that had occurred.
Yes, I met with the residents, and Mr. DeBar, I believe, was out there today marking distances for neighbors to see. And we will be looking to add red curb in areas of sight and a center line to demark where you should be on what side of the road when you make the turn. And I think it was acceptable to many of the residents. So
thank you for responding to those.
Actually, just a clarification. I was on my way to go there to mark it, and I got sidetracked. So I'll be doing it tomorrow, marking it. So that area. Sorry, city manager. I didn't notify you. I didn't make it up there.
All right, thank you to staff, because you've been taking this concern seriously and moving forward with that. We really appreciate it.
But we do plan to have that marked, hopefully painted this week. That's the goal.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, let's go ahead and open up to public comment, see if there's any public comment on this item. I'm seeing none, so we're going to close public comment, and let me bring that back for a motion.
I move we approve the draft resolutions presented by staff for this agenda item.
I'll second.
Motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. Next is public hearing number 5, or adopting the sewer service charges to be added to the 2425 property tax rolls. Do we have any ex parte on this item? Seeing none, we will move over to our Public Works Director, Mr. Nick DeBar.
Thank you, Mayor Moreno. I'm going to actually have Mr. Ryan Betts present this item, and I know he has a few slides he'd like to show, and it'll be fairly quick.
Thank you.
Good evening, Amanda Manor, City Council Ryan Betts, Public Works Analyst. Pleased to present you tonight the adoption of the sewer server charges to be added to the 2024 and 2025 property tax rolls. I only have a couple slides, and I'll be quick. Tonight is a public hearing to receive objections to the placement of those sewer service charges. This is an annual process that the city takes this time of year. The sewer service charges are fixed rates and collected with the property tax. These charges go primarily to infrastructure, including the water reclamation facility, collections, and of course operations. Tonight there is no proposed rate increase. We're proposing to adopt the same sewer service charge as 23 and 24. And that's primarily, I should make a note, that's primarily because we are actually in the process of conducting a wastewater study that will look both short-term and long-term at all the different various costs and then come back to the council with the results of that study and discuss any potential sewer service charges associated with that study. We build typically approximately 5,700 parcels this year that'll generate about $4.8 million annually. Just by way of the users or the folks that receive these charges, the charge will be on their property tax bill, and it will say something to the effect of a Tescadero sewer service charge. The county auditor deadline is July 22nd, 2024. Why that's important, we submit all the APNs and the equivalent of the charge to the county, and then, of course, that's added to the property tax. That's an important process that we take advantage of to help kind of minimize what would be a lot of administrative costs in doing a typical billing and collecting process here at the city. And it's important to note that the county does add $2 fee to each levy. That's their processing cost that's passed on to the resident. And it's also important to note this is only for sewer service charges. Many of our residents are on septic systems here in the community. This does not apply to them whatsoever. This is primarily folks that are hooked up to sewer and businesses as well. So the recommendation before you tonight is to conduct a public hearing and receive verbal testimony regarding the proposed sewer service charges to be levied onto the property tax rolls and to adopt a draft resolution approving the sewer service charges to be added to those said rolls. And staff is available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Betts. Any questions of staff? All right, seeing none, let's go out to the public, see if there's any public comment on this item. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public comment and bring that back to council for a motion.
I move we adopt a draft resolution approving the sewer service charges to be added to the property tax rolls for 24-25.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion by Councilmember Borbeau, a second by Mayor Pro Tem Funk. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Borbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Darris?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Funk?
Yes.
Mayor Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Motion passes 4-0 with Councilmember Newsom absent.
Thank you. All right, we have no management reports tonight, so we'll move on to council announcements and committee reports. This is where the council, we let each other know any updates on committees that we've attended, meetings on which we serve, and also briefly let you know of any activities we've been involved in the community. So I'll start on my left with Councilmember Darris.
I don't have anything to report.
I did attend the IWMA meeting after our last council meeting, and we did indeed lower the IWMA fee to 3%. So people will see a small reduction in their garbage bills after July 1st.
Yay, fees going down.
For once, don't have a huge report. I did want to report back to the body that I was one of the council members who was able to attend the Tascara Pride Festival. And in the course of that, I had the opportunity to present the certificate of recognition under my name as Mayor Pro Tem of our LGBTQ plus citizens and celebrations of Pride Month in the Tascadero. And I took the opportunity to recognize the bravery and of the young woman who came to this council and told us of her experience in this community being harassed for her sexual orientation or her identification with Pride, and was able to include her as part of the receiving group to receive that certificate of recognition. It felt like it was a very redemptive moment.
Lovely, thank you. I attended the county mayor's roundtable in Grover Beach Grover Beach. Where was I on Friday? Was always good to get together with mayors. And, of course, the big thing we talked about, which you all know about, is now that the California Business Roundtable measure is no longer on the ballot. So that was obviously good news. And we asked Dave Mullinax what he was going to do now, because the thing he's been focused on for many months is no longer. I also went to the grand opening of the Sobering Center down kind of the county health campus over where the Welcome Home Village is going to be, 12 beds. This is a really important piece that's been missing in our county, so really nice to see that moving forward. And I also got to participate in Slow Leadership also, I think, two Fridays ago, as did our city manager, Mr. Lewis. And so it's always a pleasure to be working with leaders in the community that are learning more about government, participating in Government Day. And so that's always a delight and an honor. With that, I don't think I see any.
Mayor, I will have just a general announcement of interest. I'm sorry for the community.
You are more than welcome to.
If I may. One's a little lighter, the other is a thank goodness and cheers to our fire department. So Dr. Cynthia Stringfield has arrived in Atascadero, our new zoo director, so I'm very pleased and relieved about that. More for public notice, we during our meeting, around between 7:30 and 8, a fire did break out. We arrived to it, it was 100 by 200 vegetation fire. We had 5 engines there, this was right around 8 o'clock. It was moving up the hill from the Three Bridges Oak Preserve trailhead on the south side of Morrow Road towards Toloso, so that's where it was. We did hit it hard. We got hosed around it within about, 15, 20 minutes, and we did have the fire controlled. There was no structure threats, and the fire was out. They'll be there for another hour and a half or so doing mop-up. 41 has a hard closure going west, so they have started to let eastbound traffic through. But just a shout out to our fire department. I did step out of the meeting a few times, and you could see the fire. It has been on everything at Atascadero and other media outlets, so you will hear about it. But our fire department handled it, and I'm very proud of them, as I know you are too. So the community is safe. Thanks to them. Thank you.
Thank you, and yes, good work. Thank you all. I see no individual determinations, so with that, meeting adjourned.
At this time, AM 1230 KPRL concludes this portion of the Atascadero City Council meeting, brought to you by Idler's Home. More of what you want for your home. Go to idlershome.com. We invite you to join us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month for the Atascadero City Council meeting. We now join our regularly scheduled programming. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230 KPRL, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton.
Foodstuffs that were disproportionately bought by lower income households. In other words, now there's more buyers for the lower priced goods. Eggs are just one example of this phenomenon. They've historically been a relatively inexpensive source of protein, vitamin D, and other nutrients. As more Americans swap purchases of things like beef with eggs to save money to get your protein, the higher demand for eggs has pushed prices up much faster than the average inflation rate for food. That's a key reason why egg prices are up 41% under Bidenomics. Eggs aren't the only things at the grocery store that will induce sticker shock. I'm going through all this because look how they just lie. Now, you know this, but they just lie. Prices of other consumer staples such as flour, sugar, butter have skyrocketed in price under Biden's tenure, increasing 38.3%, 30.7%, 35.9% respectively. But Americans' incomes haven't risen nearly as quickly as food prices have during the Biden administration, resulting from failed public policy, spending and borrowing trillions of dollars we didn't have, manipulating interest rates and printing money to try and pay it all has crushed American consumers under an elephantine cost of living and burgeoning debt. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. It's a disaster. And even Janet Yellen now, adding to the lies. Cut 10, Mr. Producer, go.
What impact would Donald Trump have on our economy if he's elected?
Well, look, I'm governed by the Hatch Act, and I can't get into electoral politics. I guess I could just make a couple of policy-oriented comments, which is that the signature policy from the Trump years was the Tax Cut and Jobs Act, and it promised an investment boom, which really did not materialize. It gave huge tax breaks to corporations.
All right, let's stop. Let's stop. It gave huge tax breaks to everybody across the board, corporations the least. And the economy exploded in terms of growth until the pandemic. In the last months of, really about the last year of the Trump presidency, the economy was picking up. It was starting to grow again. Biden comes in, and he overloads it with cash. That's what you're suffering from right now. Why is that? Well, think of it this way. If you go to a grocery store and it has an overabundance of a particular product, they have to reduce the price to sell it. Well, that's how the market works with currency. If there's too much currency that's created and it's not based on gold or silver, there's no standard. Then you've got all these dollars chasing the limited number of goods. You create inflation. You create market dislocations. So people aren't responding to an actual market system. They're responding to government. There's a reason why the stock market is all stoked up and pumped up. She talks about corporations. Major corporations are doing great under Biden. It's small businesses that are suffering. Restaurants that are suffering. Hardware stores that are suffering. Mechanics. And I can go on and on and on. Who are suffering? The big boys are doing great under Biden. A lot of them are supporting Biden. But the point is, the middle class is suffering under Biden. You can't have food going up 30%. And particular kinds of food, like eggs, going up over 40%. And flour and sugar and butter going up 30, 35, 39%. These are basic things that people need. I haven't even gotten to bread and milk and all the rest of it. This affects households across America, regardless of who you are. And if you're earning a minimum wage, the answer isn't to artificially increase it so you destroy small businesses or franchisers. The answer is the government needs to stop creating stagflation. It won't work. Didn't work in post-World War I Germany. Didn't work in Zimbabwe. Doesn't work anywhere in the world. People suffer. Because the money's not worth anything, and people go back to bartering. They go back to bartering. Look, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You're living it. When's the last time you took a vacation? When's the last time you went to Disney World? It's been a long time for us, very long. But I'm told people are literally going into debt on their credit cards to take their kids to Disney for 4 or 5 days. That a park pass is so expensive, the food's so expensive, and on it goes. I'm not even singling out Disney. This could be anywhere. Universal, it could be a local amusement park. It's not because everybody's out to screw you. It's because everybody has to cover their costs. And under inflation, personnel costs go up. Material costs go up. Food costs go up. Utility costs go, everything goes up, except the value of your dollar, which goes down. This is what Trump was warning against. He said inflation is a country killer. Regardless of their best efforts, Biden did this, and his proposed budget proposes trillions more. And what did we get for this? 7 electric vehicle charging stations for $7 billion. Internet for the poor and for people who don't have it, $42.5 billion. Not one house has been hooked up. What kind of record is this? He'll talk about, I have this internet legislation that'll hook everybody. But they don't. It hasn't hooked up anybody. Anybody. Look at the cost of automobiles, artificially high because he demands that everybody drive an electric vehicle. And the people who demand it don't drive electric vehicles. They absolutely don't. News people aren't driving electric vehicles. I mean, a few of them, but most of them are not. Most members of Congress aren't driving electric vehicles. Some are, most aren't. Most members of the Biden administration aren't. John Kerry relies on the combustion engine for almost all things. You can't take natural gas out of production or the pipelines for delivering it and do anything but drive up the cost of gas. And you can't claim on the one hand that you brought down the price of gasoline while on the other hand you're trying to drive the price so high that people can't afford it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin. Time to upgrade that old spa? You don't need to sweat it at the fair for a discount. Family-owned Slow Spas has been serving the Central Coast since 1983. They're the only jacuzzi dealer in Slow County. They sell jacuzzis because the pumps and quality are beyond compare. Infrared saunas, cold plunges, jacuzzi swim spas, and regular spas. Ready to make that investment for long-term enjoyment? Don't stand in the heat at the fair. Head to Slow Spas on Broad Street across from Staples in San Luis.
Welcome to that new money smell of freedom. Hurry in. This is the last week to earn entries for your chance to win $50,000 in cash or $50,000 in slot replay from Chumash Casino Resort. Imagine all the possibilities. Drawings this Sunday, June 30th, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Welcome to freedom. Must be present to win. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Have you been to NCI Affiliates Post Office and Gift Shop? It's off Linnae Road, just past the Food for Less Shopping Center. You can take care of your business essentials such as shipping, copying, faxing, and shredding, as well as stock up on See's Candy. Don't forget NCI's thrift stores in Atascadero and Paso Robles to find shopping bargains. NCI Affiliates, building partnerships and creating choices since 1979.
KPRL listeners, did you know John Whitford Communications has rattled the cage and unleashed the internet? Yes, John took off the leash to release the beast. Unleashed internet, no contracts, no data caps, no equipment to buy, and no having to install it yourself. Stay off the roof and let the pros install it for you. Unleashed internet allows you to work from home, stream TV, homeschool, and surf the web with the freedom of unlimited data with speeds up to 100 megabits per second. No contracts, no equipment to buy, no data caps, and professional installation is included. Unleashed Internet for home and business is available in all rural locations. Call John Whitford now to get a free Wi-Fi router upgrade, a $149 value. Call 461-3030. That's 461-3030. John Whitford Communications, the best in the West.
I'm Renelle Baldwin, CEO and founder of Dignified Hope Care. Our company has been providing exceptional care for seniors across the Central Coast from Paso to Orchid for over 7 years. We are the only caregiving company to have all licensed care staff that are EMTs, CNAs, and medical assistants, along with nursing staff that assist in medication management and nursing shift needs. Contact us to find out about our new red light therapy room at 805-510-1234 or Dignified Hope Care.
Another beautiful day in Paso Robles, so why not have your chauffeur drive you down to Spring Street Mobile, where they still offer full service. The last remaining major brand on Spring Street. Family owned and operated since 1982. Spring Street Mobile offers a full line of automotive service and repairs, including smog checks on Saturday. Courteous service, honest prices, and they probably know you by your first name. So beware of backseat drivers and stop by Spring Street Mobile at 14th and Spring, downtown Paso Robles.
This hour of Mark Levin on KPRL was brought to you by Old Farts. Enjoy those golden years you were looking forward to. For men over 60, call Gary at 805-400-4460.
Well, you see what's going on in the country. We just spent a good 10 minutes discussing. When the value of the dollar is going up because the government cannot control its spending, when you look at the interest on the debt is larger than the defense budget, did you know that? And when that occurs, a country has very difficulty surviving as a result of that. When you see who's in charge, we have a huge problem in our hands. But you need to look at your own situation, your own finances. What do you do when there's stagflation? That is, when there's interest through the roof, when inflation's through the roof, and yet the value of your money sitting in the bank, sitting in your paycheck, is going down. Prices are up, the value of the currency is down. Well, my concern is that things are going to get worse before they get better. We have tremendous turmoil in this country, in our streets. It's difficult to do the right thing, to get the right thing done in Congress. The Democrats are basically kamikaze at this point. But look, in times of crisis, there's always opportunity. There's always a bright light. And right now, there is an opportunity. It's called diversification. While you can, while your money still has value, you should look into buying gold. Again, as part of your portfolio. As political tensions rise, the dollar's future becomes increasingly uncertain. Gold has the potential for going higher. I personally think it will. That's why I trust Advantage Gold. I've dealt with a lot of gold companies. They're the best. They're the experts at helping Americans take steps to help safeguard their wealth with precious metals. All you have to do is give them a call and get their free kit. Call them right now. They are there, 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000, and get their free 2024 gold and silver kit, 800-900-8000. Get their free 2024 gold and silver kit. It's beautiful. It's substantive. It's very eye-opening. Plus a special Mark Levin discount worth up to $1,300 if you qualify. The future may be unpredictable, but your financial security does not have to be, and that's the point. Call Advantage Gold right now. They are there. 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. Get your special Mark Levin discount worth up to $1,300 for qualified customers today. Performance may vary. You should always consult your financial and tax professional. Now, while you're at it, I'm full of great ideas. You work hard to support yourself and your family. Hard. But it may seem as though you are taking a step back every month instead of moving forward. It's not your fault. It's what's being done to the country. It's what's being done to our currency and interest rates. When the bills are higher than what you bring in every month, you have to swipe that credit card, right, to cover the difference. I have been there. I've told you about that. It's incredibly stressful. It's terribly unpleasant. And you wonder what's going to happen. The debt keeps adding up. But if you own a home, my friends at American Financing can help you break free from that debt cycle. They can help you out of this bind. American Financing is saving people just like you on average almost $900 a month. Folks, that's $11,000 a year. Think about what you could do with an extra almost $900 every month or $11,000 a year. It's all your money. It's a matter of using it the right way under the current economic circumstances. Even better, it costs nothing to find out how much you can save. Nothing. All it takes is a quick call to American Financing. And if you start today, you may be able to delay two mortgage payments. And by the way, the interest you pay on that credit card is burning money. It's not tax deductible. The interest you pay on your refinance is tax deductible up to $10,000. In addition to being four times lower than what you're paying on the interest on your credit card. So, folks, call American Finance today. It is a no-brainer. Start your journey towards being credit card debt-free. 888-900-1828. Hello! 888-900-1828. 888-900-1828. They won't bite you. Don't be scared. Check them out. Or visit AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Mm-hmm. I try to provide you with some good information about these things. And that's certainly one of them. The Democrats are obsessed with abortion. They don't want it to be rare. Like they used to say, they want it to be ubiquitous. Abortions in this country are way up since the Dobbs decision. Can you pass that around, people? Can you tell as many people as you know? If you want to find the source, go on any of my platforms. I posted it up there. I think it was last evening. It's a radical left-wing pro-abort organization. They say, despite all the obstacles, despite, abortion is up significantly since the last time we went through all the data. And it's up significantly since the Dobbs decision. So what is it that the Democrats want? An abortion clinic next to a 7-Eleven on every corner, Mr. Producer? Is that what they want? An abortion clinic next to a Starbucks on every corner? What do they want? We salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, emergency personnel, our truckers, our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, our brothers and sisters in Israel. We have your back, even though Biden is kneecapping you. And you, the American people, God bless you. Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
North County, we're back.
Brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance in Templeton. Whether it's home, auto, life, or business, call Kevin Hunt Insurance. Clear tonight and overnight, lows in the upper 50s. Another warm one on your Wednesday and Thursday with highs in the mid-90s. Friday, sunny, low 80s. Weather was brought to you by Kevin Hunt Insurance, 434-3276.
Parkfield, Shandon, Creston, and Heritage Ranch, a part of the Talk of North County, KPRL.
Gold is at an all-time high. Now is the time to take your scrap gold and turn it into cash or trade it in for new jewelry at Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry in Paso Robles. Take the old or broken bracelets, chains, rings, or trinkets that you never wear and go home with cash in your pocket or get an additional 25% off to use towards a new item. Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry is family-owned and located at 1224 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Paso Robles. Open Wednesday through Saturday.
Every child deserves a champion, a teacher who will never give up on them. Students remember what teachers teach and also what they represent. At Trinity Lutheran School,